Leadership and War. One of the many definitions Mary Baker Eddy has provided for God is that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. The word incorporeal refers to fulfilling one of the many terms that describe the Word, which is one of the four sides of the city as described in Revelation. An incorporeal simply means that it is not mortal, it is not physical, it is not something that you can touch, feel, taste, or smell with human ordinary senses. Of course, it's a different story if one is using spirit as their guide and are using spiritual senses. The second word is divine, and divine refers to the second side of the city, meaning the Christ, and that refers to translation. Jesus, who was the highest representation of the Christ, when he saw someone that had a problem, he would automatically translate it, whereby he was viewing the real man and not a sick, sinful, or even dead mortal. The third word is supreme. Supreme refers to the third side of the city, which is Christianity. And Christianity simply means to utilize the Word and the translation to be able to demonstrate what really is the truth. That means healing of everything, bringing oneself into harmony and alignment with the kingdom of God. Heaven, harmony here and now. The fourth word is infinite, and as you might imagine, that is without limit. Undefinable, cannot be defined at all, totally indefinable, because there is no word that can describe something without a beginning or end and is ever expanding. To view. And these four words are qualities that basically are attributes of the seven synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, which means all seven of them reflect those four attributes, or adjectives, or descriptive terms. Starting with the first one, which is the Word, that means the facts about God. If we are facing what appears to be a failure in leadership and chaos is certainly just another name for war, conflict, discord. In fact, we all have war within consciousness unless we have already ascended above all sense of materiality. We are warring every day. Or at least we should be. We should be challenging the material sense concept of man. Mary Baker Eddy gives a lot of information about what man really is. She provides it in the glossary, chapter 17 of Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures. She provides very extensive definition under the question and answer in chapter 14, recapitulation. But a very simple term is that man is the compound idea of God. By compound, she is referring to the infinite number of qualities that are encompassed in the reflection of God and projected or reflected or manifested as man. Every quality that one might attribute to a woman, every quality that one might attribute to a man, a woman thinking of love and caring and consideration and thoughtfulness, and man, courage, strength, intelligence. Those are just a few that are typically attributed to manhood qualities. Well, man really is generic and includes all qualities that are attributed to both male and female, but man is not a gender. Man is generic because man is a manifestation of God. If we think of man in its true sense, we don't have to be concerned about who is playing the part and has the label of a leader, whether it's past, present, or future. Because everyone needs to have in their own consciousness the true meaning of manhood, the true meaning of God, the true meaning of leadership, the true cause of a conflict that might be termed war. And whether it's termed nuclear war or hand-to-hand combat, doesn't matter. It is a chaos. It is a disruption of principle in thought. We cannot disrupt principle in reality because principle is fixed. It's like truth. Truth doesn't change. Principle doesn't change. Mind does not change. Spirit does not change. Soul, which is spiritual sense, does not change. Principle is system and structure. That doesn't change because the nature of it is of the substance of spirit. Spirit is the only substance. Life doesn't change. We may get many, many different views, and hopefully each one is elevated above a prior one. But life is really living the qualities of God. If we live the qualities of God, do we have to be concerned about who is in a particular office of a government as president or secretary of defense or any other office? We don't have to be concerned about it. We have to have in our own thought a clear, absolutely conclusive view of the real man, the real leader, the real God. Mary Baker Eddy said in an article on vision that she wrote to one of her students, she said, "Are you able to focus no matter what comes your way?" Are we focusing no matter what comes our way? Are we focusing on the real God, the real man, the real leader? Are we focusing on the truth? Are we focusing on the Christ consciousness? Are we focusing on the creative ability, the intelligence, the wisdom, the knowing, the infinite capacity, capability that God represents, that God is, and the action? You put all those things together and you come up with an absolute infinite performance. That means you have infinite power, omnipotent power, power that is all everywhere, omnipresent, uninterruptible. They have a device for computers to protect it in case you have a power outage. And the better ones are called uninterruptible power supplies, which means that if the power goes off, you have continuous power as long as that equipment is designed to operate, which is on a backup battery. Do we have a backup battery in consciousness in case we are faced with an unexpected suggestion of chaos? We need to have. And what that is the power of mind. We can think instantly, even as a human with a limited brain, that, okay, we are where we are right now, and let's suppose we would like to be somewhere else. We can instantly visualize that. It could be anywhere. Anywhere in the entire universe. Anywhere in all existence. You could create whatever atmosphere you want and be there instantly. Well, let's use a battery of spirit so we have an uninterruptible supply that can shift gears automatically so that we can replace any disruptive thought, any disruptive supposedly visual circumstance, and translate it utilizing the Christ, which is the second side of the city, translate it to harmony, a structure and system based on principle. We must think about what is true, not what is erroneous. So truth with a capital T obviously has to be right there in the middle of our thought. And if we do all of this with these six synonymous terms, that means we are nurturing it with the qualities of God, and that's exactly the function of love. Love is the motherhood, just like life is considered the fatherhood. The motherhood nurtures to fulfillment. And if we've done that, we will experience wholeness. Will we experience chaos? Not a chance. That's not a part of wholeness. That's a belief that there's an absence. It's a belief in time and space. Time and space is a measurement of absence. Fulfillment has no time, has no space, because everything real is omnipresent. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, right this moment. Moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time, which means now. Now. Right this moment, we have the harmony, the absolute alignment with the Christ consciousness. Wentworth Winslow is one of our featured authors on the Mary Baker Eddy Institute website. The address of that website is mbeinstitute.org. Or .com. They both take you to the same website. He wrote four books. One is Let God Do It. Another one is God Can Do It. Another one is God Is Doing It. Or God Will Do It, I believe it is. And then God Is Doing It. They all focus on God. The same God we've been discussing here, the only one that is real. And he says, imagine yourself in a room with a telephone and a broadcasting device that is one way, such as a radio. Or it could be anything that doesn't have ears. It doesn't hear what we say, it only broadcasts the truth. And he says, you have your choice. You can pick up the phone and argue with a suggestion. It's going to ring off the hook, trying to get your attention, trying to alarm you, trying to turn you into maybe someone that was thinking peacefully about something or doing something peacefully, and all of a sudden it tries to upset the apple cart. Or you can listen to the radio that is broadcasting only the truth. The key here is that it is an individual salvation. It's an individual choice. Ira Knapp was one of Mary Baker Eddy's earliest students, and in beginning around 1885, he began touring the United States as a lecturer appointed directly by Mary Baker Eddy. She felt that he was advanced enough in Christian Science to be representing her writings and what she discovered. And remember, it was not an easy task. It was horse and buggy, or maybe riding horseback, or trains, depending on what area that he was traveling to, but he covered the whole U.S. He did it for some, I don't know, 15 years, I believe it was. And he had a son named Bliss, and his wife had passed on at the time that he had a particular meeting that I'm going to refer to here with Mary Baker Eddy. And he went to Concord, New Hampshire, to the home that was named Pleasant View. How's that for a name? Talk about putting an absolute wall up against a suggestion of chaos. That's it. So it was a warm day, and Bliss Knapp, the son, was, I believe it said that he was somewhere around 8 or 10 years old. She gave him a fan. It was a handheld fan. And at the time, he probably thought it was to keep himself cooler. But the significance of the fan, as he found out later, was to separate truth from error, spirit from matter, mind from mortal mind, spiritual sense from material sense, principle from chaos, life from death, or slowness, laziness, inactivity, truth from error, and love from anything less than love, any form that was less than love is not love. That's what we need to do. We need to utilize a filtering system so that when something is presented to us, we immediately go to the facts about God, go to the Christ, which is translating it to reality from the chaotic condition that may be presented as a suggestion. We need to utilize those facts about God and the Christ viewpoint in order to demonstrate healing our thought from one that is apparently presented with disruption, and replace it with the one that is science. Science is the fourth side of the city, which represents completeness. It means that we already understand what the facts are about God. We understand that we must translate anything that is unlike perfection to the real perfection of reality. We must prove it by demonstrating it, and then we are living it. And when we're living it, we are in the science, the fourth side of the city. We're in heaven. Heaven in consciousness, heaven on earth, heaven right where we are all the time. My mother told me when I was a little boy, I would ask her, "Why, Mother? Why did this happen?" It would be something that would be unfavorable. She would say, "Do not try to figure out mortal mind. It's always in a state of flux, always changing. It's like being on a dance floor and you're dancing all around the dance floor, but you have to be dancing, thinking about dancing with God, where you are stable in your thought and you're holding on tightly to the truth. You might have to take a step around error. But you can't give in to it. You have to keep your thought in alignment. Whatever move you have to make, whatever translation is really what she was saying, you have to make, then do it. Don't try to figure out why it's there, but replace it with the right kind of thought. Many great philosophers of the past have indicated or directly stated that our experience is a result of our thoughts. Frederick Rawson, one of the greatest practitioners of all time, lived in Mary Baker Eddy's day. He wrote a book called Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. It includes a list of 1,315 different ailments, not including any detailed description, for Mary Baker Eddy specifically states, if one gives a testimony, they can name it, a name that is ascribed to it by Materia Medica, but don't be describing the symptoms. Don't be giving any detailed description about it, because you don't want to fix it in thought of anyone that might be listening to your testimony. And she says you have to identify the counterfact to it and affirm that that is the truth, and that the whatever the name is for it is a lie, because that's not the truth about man or about an event or whatever is a being apparently affected by the belief. So he gives the counterfacts on all 1,315 of them. It was a wonderful demonstration that he had to be able to have all of this revealed to him. It's like an encyclopedia of how to beat the tar out of the devil. I mean, that devil doesn't have a snowman's chance in a blast furnace. If you use the truth, if you understand what the counterfact is and apply it to the situation, focus on what Mary Baker Eddy says to focus on. No matter what comes your way, can you focus? That's what we have to focus on. Mr. Winslow also brings out in his four books, by the way, all four books are filled with articles. That's what they are, a compilation of, I don't know, over 100 articles. And each one is complete in itself, anywhere from a page to 3 or 4 pages each. And he says, if you've got a pain in your stomach, don't go to a doctor and try to get a diagnosis to put a name on it to fix it in your thought. He says pretty soon it's gonna lead to this and then that and then something else. Pretty soon you're gonna have nothing but trouble. He says immediately address it as not being a part of you. Doesn't matter what the source happens to be. The point is it cannot be real in your experience. And he said, think about God. That's exactly what Mr. Rawson says. After you deny that it is the truth about you or circumstance or event or whatever it is that seemed to be affected, he said, then immediately go to claiming the truth about the situation and stick with that. Stick with that until it's healed. By the way, Mr. Rawson is the one that discovered how to have retroactive healing, or another name he calls it is treating backwards, which means that the effect of the treatment begins to take place prior to the time that there was any notification to the practitioner or to your own consciousness or whatever. Prior to the time that you were even aware there was a problem, or prior to the time at least before you addressed the problem. The very first time that he experienced the truth of this technique, he tried it on his sister. He reasoned it out himself. He was an electrical engineer with a great talent for solving problems. Large companies would come to him from all over the world to employ him to solve problems that they could not solve within their company. So he reasoned out, by the way, Mary Baker Eddy says that reason is our most effective capacity. That's a paraphrase. So he reasoned out that if he could get clear in his thought about that God was his maker, God was the creator, God was his source. And if God is omnipresent, where could time be? Time would be absent. Time is absent from the universe of perfection. Because as noted before, time is a measurement of space and action. And it basically is trying to give the example or the illustration that there is an absence of action, an absence of the omnipresence of God. Time has no place with God. An example of that very same thing was given earlier in this recording. Omnipresence eliminates absence. So that means it eliminates space. One of the terms, one of the phrases in Mary Baker Eddy's writings is that God fills all space. Well, that's what omnipresence is. There's no empty space. There's no absence of anything that is perfect. For perfection is omnipresent. So he reasoned that if he could get a clear enough thought about these kinds of things that were brought up in his recording, why does any healing have to start at some point in time? It's not dependent upon time. It's dependent upon realization of truth. Just like the philosophers said, in fact, Mary Baker Eddy quotes Shakespeare, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And along goes with that, what our thought is the experience that we have. One of the premises that Mr. Rawson propounds vividly is that we need to deal with our own thought. That's where we have to clean things up. And of course, that's nothing new. I mean, that's what Mary Baker Eddy has said from the beginning. Another definition of God she gives us is that God is the great I am. Not a great I am, the great I am. There is nothing else. It's like the supreme I am. That's what she's saying. The supreme, there's nothing higher. That is the max authority. That's where the buck stops. No delegation. That's it. Can't go any higher than that. So his sister sent him a letter, and she knew that he was having success in his healing practice. This was, keep in mind, this was back like, I don't know, probably 1900 or 1910. Probably Pony Express delivered it. I don't know. Anyway, he got a letter, and he said, I'm going to try retroactive healing on the problem my sister is having. So that's exactly what he did. He did what Mary Baker Eddy says. Can you focus no matter what comes your way? Well, he focused on the omnipresence of God. The omnipresence of the one infinite, incorporeal, divine, supreme mind. Spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. In other words, the complete gamut is omnipresent. Every phase is omnipresent. Every word in the dictionary can be assigned either to one of those seven terms, or it's a reminder that it's the opposite and we have to flip it. We have to go to the counterfact of it to see the truth. So he reasoned that if he could get close enough in thought to God and the fact there is no time, then whatever work he was doing on the situation that his sister presented to him, then it doesn't have to wait to start today when he got the letter. It can start at the time that she decided that she was ready to let Christian Science be the tool that was used for the healing. Sometime later, they communicated again, and she said, you know, it's a funny thing. As soon as I sent you the letter, I was healed. She said, there's no way you could have gotten the letter. She said, I just sent it. So he was able to make that healing effective the moment that she was willing to give up the belief and waiting for Christian Science. The science of Christianity, the science of the Bible, the great discovery that Mary Baker Eddy revealed to take effect. And it took effect instantly. He obviously had a very, very clear thought about it. Like people that make big deals in business. If you want to make a big deal, don't... Don't start with small thinking. Start with big thinking. So he decided he would start with making it effective as soon as she knew that she had a problem and she wanted to yield to a higher source. And that's when it was effective. He was in a shooting contest as a sportsman. He was a great sportsman. Excelled at everything he did. We have I think it's around a 15-page plus bio on him, and you will be very interested in reading it. To get to any author, all you do is go to the menu and click on author. Everything is in alphabetic order, and every author has an index. Easily find whatever you want. You can find the book that has the 1,315 healings in it. In fact, it's noted right at the top with a quick link to it. So it's up to us what we do, whether we want to think small, myopic. It's like the professor. He decided that he wanted to teach his students something unique, so he hung a sheet up across the viewing area in the room, white sheet, had a little black dot right in the middle. He said, "What do you see?" And they all looked at it in amazement, trying to figure out what's wrong with this professor. I mean, he didn't show us, he didn't give us anything to look at. You know, plain white sheet. All of a sudden, one student notices that there's the little black dot. And he said, "I see a little black dot in the middle." That's what he's showing us. He wants us to see that little black dot and see what we can make out of it. And they all agreed that that was it. That was the lesson to be learned. Look for the little black dot. Forget the big white sheet. You know, look for the little thing that's a problem. The thing that's different. Well, the professor didn't agree with him. He says, "Don't focus on the black dot. Focus on the clean white sheet. That is the big picture. Don't be myopic." Mr. Winslow gives an example in an article, "The Bicycle and the Brick." Of course, keep in mind, all these things were written before we had spaceships. Anyway, he says, if you're riding a bicycle and there's a brick in the road, he said, if you look at that brick, and if you focus on that brick, you're going to run right into it. And probably are not going to have a very good experience by doing that. He says, keep your thought on the big picture, not on the brick. Look ahead and be aware of the brick, but just go around it. Don't focus on it. Don't stare at it. Don't let that be your guide to the path you're going to drive the bike. We can do the filtering, or we can just take everything that comes at us and absorb it and suffer. We can rely on a person to be our leader, to keep us out of war. Or we can develop a consciousness that keeps us out of war all the time with our uninterruptible backup of truth, life, truth, and love, mind, spirit, soul, and principle. In other words, God. And we can be the man that is the compound idea of God, where we can express many, many, many qualities of God. Compounding is so simple. If you have $100 and you earn 10% interest at the end of a year, if it's 10% a year, let's say it's simple, then you have $110 at the end of the year. But next year, you're going to start out with $110 if you don't take anything out, and you're going to earn $11. And the next year, you're going to have 10% of $111. You're going to add 11, or you added 11 to that, so I guess $121. So you're going to have 12.1% and so forth. Anyway, you add 10% to the prior balance, and that is your new amount that you add to the balance, for the ending balance for the period. So it doesn't end up being a straight line if you consider an XY axis, where the time is the horizontal axis and the money is the vertical axis. And think about the vertical axis being qualities and the horizontal axis being milestones from your study. Each time you study, you're going to learn a little bit more. And instead of having a straight line that goes from the lower left corner to zero up to the right, you're going to have a curved line that curves up, because it's going to go up at an increasing rate, because you are adding your little bit that Mary Baker Eddy refers to in quoting the Bible, a little bit here, a little bit there a little, there a little. That's what we want to do. She says it's important what we do with our moments. She indicates that that is, in many cases, the indication or the difference between success and failure, what we're doing with our moments. So if we're doing a little bit here and a little bit there with our moments, it will compound, and it will start that gradual curve that goes up. You don't want to be on the back side of the power curve. If any of you have flown an airplane, there's a power curve that measures all of the things that enable you to go forward and up, you know, lift and power and so forth goes forward and up. And drag is what holds you down. Gravity, you know, measured in weight, and, you know, resistance from a poor design of the wings and the aircraft, not streamlined, but boxy, for example. That all creates drag, and your power and your lift has to overcome it, otherwise you don't go anywhere. Well, the backside of the power curve means that the drag is so much that you cannot overcome it, no matter how much lift or how much power you have. It cannot be overcome. So we don't want to be on the backside of the power curve. We want to have that uninterruptible power supply, so we always have something we can rely on to advance. We don't have to worry about the leader. We don't have to worry about war. We don't have to worry about another country's leader. Our responsibility is our own consciousness. And if we take care of our own consciousness moment by moment, we will be an example that others will want to follow. We will be an inspiration to them. My dad was a great example of being a silent example. He probably thought I was too strong-willed. No one had to get me out of bed in the morning. So he didn't give me much advice. But he was a great example. He was a hard worker. He was consistent. He was in business for himself, had a lot of men working for him and so forth. And one of the things that I learned from him, he says, the best advertising in the world is a satisfied customer. Doesn't matter what it costs. You can take a loss on him, it doesn't matter. But if he's satisfied, he will be your best advertising. And if he's not satisfied, he'll be your worst. So he says, doesn't matter what it takes, make sure your customers are all satisfied. Another thing he taught me, these are visual things that he told me, and audio. He said, take care of what you have. He showed me a pair of shoes he had had for many years. They looked like new. They were what he used for Sunday church. And they looked like new. His car always looked like new. He kept it clean. The engine was clean. You could eat off of it. Maintained every single thing there was to maintain on it. Anyone that bought one of his cars when he was ready to trade it in, they got a car that had been maintained perfectly. He says, take care of what you have, and it will take care of you. So forget depending on some leader that we think is God's messenger. In fact, I heard what one said about a belief of a war situation right now. He's been brilliant on a lot of things. Got 100 million people in the U.S. that follow him. Absolutely without fail. But boy, what he said about this condition of war between two countries was absolutely wrong. Absolutely. It was not scientific. It was not strategy at work. And he's considered one of the best negotiators in the world. We cannot depend on a human. That is what we have to understand. We have to depend on the divine. We have to get our thought clear and be an example. We're too busy to try to take care of someone else's business. We've got to take care of our own. Mary Baker Eddy made the statement, you'll be plenty busy without putting your fingers in someone else's business. You'll be plenty busy taking care of your own affairs. A group that had a church going, and she said, how's the new church coming along? And they said, real smooth, they said. Everything is just perfect. Everything is harmonious. What do you think her reply was? She said, that's too bad. You're never going to progress. Interesting. She said, you're only going to progress if you are challenging and you are fighting. Because you're going to have mortal mind suggestions around you all the time about everything that exists. And you've got to be awake. You have to be alert and recognize them. You have to deny that they can be controlling the situation, and you have to be thinking about the counterfact to them and stick to it. She said, you got to be challenging all the time. Einstein, who studied Christian Science very sincerely, by the way, he's on our website. We have some very interesting things he said. One of his good friends, who was on the Atomic Energy Commission during World War II times, was the only one that survived out of the Atomic Commission. The only one. And he was healed through Christian Science. And that's what accelerated the interest by Einstein about Christian Science. And in fact, one of the statements Einstein said was that, imagine, she knew this 80 years ago. This was around 1950, he said this. And he was referring to what she stated in chapter 17. Chapter 14, recapitulation. What is a scientific statement of being? There's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. He'd been studying all of his life trying to figure out what this matter is all about. You know, they'd been splitting the atom and so forth. And of course, when quantum physics came along around 1900, it just blew away the theories of physicists who were spending their life studying what they thought was matter, an object. And when they realized that when they kept dividing that atom into smaller and smaller pieces, they realized that the only thing that was maintaining it was consciousness. That in effect, it was energy, which is invisible, energy that was oscillating at a high speed, that made it appear to be opaque. If anyone has spent any time on the article we have called The Psychologist and the Magician, they will understand what I'm saying. And if you haven't, I highly recommend it. A fellow who was the psychologist and the magician was an Eastern philosophy character. And the philosopher traveled from, I believe it was Germany, to the Eastern area. I don't know whether it was China or India. Anyway, one of the Eastern countries that was, you know, a real believer in the esoteric. And he was a mass hypnotizer. The bottom line is that, well, I don't want to spoil it in case you study it, but the thought is the controller. That's the controller. And what are we going to let be our thought? Are we going to be a reflection of God? Are we going to be an absorber of the black theories of the phone ringing? It's our choice. Which one's it going to be? Are we going to depend on a human to bail us out of what appears to be one step away from nuclear war? Everyone is an actor. The one that is believed to be the leader of various countries and governors, mayors, in many cases, there's an actor there, the person that we think is there, that they try to convince the audience is there, has been executed for treason. Many have been executed for treason. Not by the ones who are involved in the treason, but by the ones who are letting the truth guide them to drain the swamp. Many of them are actors, literally actors. They're not the people whose names that they have assumed. They have a handler that tells them everything to do. Doppelgangers, doubles, CGI. That's computer graphics, computer graphic image, you know, like holograms. All of these things are in play. Cloning labs have been revealed, exposed, destroyed. They found clones of many of the leaders, well, so-called leaders. They're not even people that were elected. There were people that were there in that position through fraud. stealing elections, fraudulent ballots, and all that kind of stuff. It is our responsibility to know the truth and to recognize and expose the error. Not as a person, but impersonally. We need to be on guard impersonally about the evil that is trying to abscond with the only country in the world where Mary Baker Eddy said she could have discovered Christian Science. Because there is a constitution, which we don't even have anymore. The constitution was replaced with a different one, you know, back around 1871, I guess it was. So the constitution they're going by wasn't the original one that the founding fathers wrote. We have to be seeking the truth, and it will be revealed to us, and we can't just sit by and do nothing. We better be active in our thought with some very powerful truth that we're sticking to. And we need to take the right steps. We just don't go into... We don't just say, well, you know, the voting is all fraudulent anyway. There's no use to vote. We've got to do our work every step of the way if we want to save America. And the world is looking at America. The world is looking at America to be the savior. We are the greatest opportunity to be able to be the savior for the rest of the world. Because we were founded on a constitution, and we should expect that constitution to be restored, the original constitution. We were founded on a constitution. The entire legal system is under the government of the UK. Esquire. Where do you think the term Esquire came from? That's from the UK. All of the attorneys that take that name are bowing to the Queen of England, who's not even around now. She was gone 2 years before they had her funeral. Yeah, that's it. The legal system is down the tubes. Court system, Supreme Court. The biggest money maker for the corruptible so-called institution is abuse of humanity. We're at Sodom and Gomorrah right now. We better realize it, and we better do something about it. We better be getting our thought cleaned up, and we better be confirming that we are the leaders. We better be the leaders. We better be having the lead in our consciousness. Mary Baker Eddy prophesied that if Christian Scientists did not do their work, we would be facing a dark ages that was longer than any in the history of mankind. Period. Global warming, are you kidding me? We are on the edge of an ice age. Ice age. Where the sun is going to be dimming. In fact, it's been dimming. It's going to be so dim that the agricultural production, without innovation, the innovation is available. Free energy is available. Free electricity is available. The electrical industry prevented it from coming forth. Tesla proved it 120 years ago. He walked down the street holding a light bulb that was lit. All of the patent office has been under the control of the UK. That's why we don't have any patents. That's why they sit on patents for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They don't release them. because it will put out of business companies that are in existence for just a profit venture and not to serve their customers. The largest retail company in the world grew to be the largest because they put the customer number one. Number one, you could take anything back anytime, no questions asked, and get your full refund. Until the people were so corrupt that they were keeping a computer for 2 or 3 years, and then when a new model would come out, they would take back the model that was 2 or 3 years old and get their money back. Dishonesty. If people would be honest, you could have 100% return policy. I don't know how they sleep at night. We must get back to the integrity that is required in order to be a Christian nation. They took the commandments off of all the courthouses. They've been on there since the beginning. Ten commandments on the face of the courthouses. I mean, if you go into court, you hold up your hand and you swear on a Bible. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Our money says, in God we trust. Our Pledge of Allegiance says, one nation under God. America the Beautiful. All of these beautiful patriotic hymns and music. We have all the tools. And if we don't use them, yeah, we will be suffering what was prophesied. Did Jesus have any loyal people? Eventually he had one, John. In the beginning, John was a traitor. John went to sleep along with Peter and James when Jesus asked him to watch. Finally, John pulled out of it, and Jesus appeared to him on the island of Patmos and dictated the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation is the book of Jesus. Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, dictated it. Yes, that's it. That's the truth. Mary Baker Eddy, did she have any people loyal to her? As soon as she left, invisible form, they took her picture out of the book. Then they went to court to change the manual. They said, surely she wouldn't want the church to dissolve, be self-dissolving. Surely she wanted us to control all of the branches throughout the world. Right in the manual, it says no. She had the symbol on the literature where the branches were separated from the stem of the tree. Authorized literature. They put something in the journal that said that the board of directors will be responsible for authorizing literature. When she saw what they did, she was still here at that time. She immediately made another statement that absolutely voided it. She says, Christian Scientists are intelligent people and they can make their own decisions on what they want to read. And no one should try to control them. Copyrights? Her last few editions, starting I think 1906, were not copyrighted. Her final edition, 1910, was not copyrighted. What did they do as soon as she left? They copyrighted it. They had no authority to do it. She said Christian Scientists should be able to write honestly about Christian Science without any limitation. She invited it. And that's what the Publishing Society was supposed to be doing. They were supposed to be a publishing organization to be able to promote, publish, and distribute books throughout the world that were written on Christian Science. Not just her writings, but anybody's writings that were honestly writing about Christian Science. What happened to the church? It's almost out of business. Almost out of business. It was the forerunner for where we are right now. Christian Scientists did not do their work the last 113 years. Totally failed. Bliss Knapp, the son I was talking about that had the fan that she gave to, he wrote a book, an excellent book on the prophecy of Mary Baker Eddy. They wouldn't publish it. He was very successful as a businessman. He had, I think it was something like 250 or 300 million. And this was back 70 years ago. I think it was 70 years ago. So 250 million there, he would be many, many, many billions now. Anyway, and he gave it all to the church on the premise that they would publish his book. They wouldn't do it. So his estate got split between Stanford University and the Mother Church, who finally negotiated to do part of what he said in his will that was a condition, and they convinced a court of law to buy it. She prophesied, boy, we got to be awful close to the bottom, ready to go over the cliff. Sodom and Gomorrah, in every way you can imagine, is right here. We are living it. We are experiencing it. We are faced with it. And we better do something about it. We better do something about it. PDQ. Pretty darn quick. And continuously to do it. One of our founding fathers says, well, here you do. You got a republic. Now can you keep it? Can you keep it? They went through pure hell, H-E-L-L, to bring about America and to form the Constitution, the original one that I mentioned earlier in this recording. Yep, they did it. They went through a tremendous strain to make it happen. And then we let another country take over our legal system, take over our money, control the money. It's all done by a foreign country. The control of the money, the control of the Constitution, the control of the legal system. We have no free elections. We don't even have freedom of religion. No, it's gone. Freedom of the press, do you think so? Anyone that tries to speak the truth is censored. Yeah. We've stood by and done nothing. That's the difference between success and failure. Good men that know better stand by and do nothing. That's failure. Because mortal mind will step in and take over. It's there. The phone is ringing all the time. It's there. It wants to get the foot in the door, and then it'll come right on in. Won't let you close the door. It'll just push it open the rest of the way. That's where we are. Is that what we want? Or are we going to stand up and do something about it? Are we going to do something in a peaceful, legal way? Like some of them out there are fighting. I know one that got like 65% of the vote in their state for governor. They were cheated out of the election by corruption, but they're going to take it all the way to the highest level, course, that really is God. It's the only place we can take it, really. We got a big choice. Are we worried about leadership? Are we worried about man, war? Are we worried about whether we can focus? Are we worried about human reasoning? Any of the things that were discussed in this recording? We better be supporting those who are draining the swamp, because almost 100% of the people that are in Congress are corrupt. Blackmail, everything you can imagine is involved. Look at our border. Criminals coming across every day, huge numbers. Accounting indicates that there's been about $1 trillion siphoned out of the U.S. Treasury, sent overseas for a war supporting Nazis. That's it. That's where we are. Are we going to stand by and do nothing? Are we just going to isolate ourselves and say, well, this doesn't concern me? You know, there's nobody fighting in my backyard. There's no power. There's no nuclear bomb being, you know, shot over here. We're there. We're at the bottom. And we better do something about it. There will be no future for America. There will be no future for any generation's children, the ones that are left. We got our work cut out, and we better do it. We better decide that it's all internal in thought, and we better get our thoughts straight, and we better be a good example, or we're in real deep trouble. God is all in all. Are we going to let it be our guide? Are we going to let the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love be our guide? Are we going to focus on that? Are we going to let our battery backup be filled with spirit or matter? Amen.